Excuse me, Mr. High Ever back.
And don't worry about any of the jokes. We just want you to laugh as long and as possible. Don't worry about any of the material. We figure the best way is to laugh here and figure them out after you get outside.
Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell,
then you smoke them.
To the sideline.
Chesterfield presents the Bob Hope Show, transcribed from Hollywood, California. With Les Brown and his band of renown, for Chesterfield, yours truly, High Averback, Jack Kirkwood, Bing Crosby. And here he is, the man who gave ties this Christmas. Santa Fe is suing him because he tore up 2 miles of track, Bob Hope!
Thank you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, December 26th, there goes another Christmas. You know what Christmas is? That's the time of the year when people who can't afford it buy things that don't fit for people they don't like. But I had an exciting Christmas morning. A crowd was gathered outside my door cheering. Someone had rung... Anyway, I... an exciting Christmas morning. A crowd was gathered outside my door cheering. Someone had hung the wrong kind of wreath out front. This is my first Christmas with my new sponsors, but they really came through. You've seen their ad showing a table set with 100 pieces of beautiful silverware and a carton of Chesterfields lying in the center. Well, that's what they gave me. And a pack of matches to light them with. Yeah, well... My relatives gave me some nice presents this year. They should be nice. They're the same ones I gave them last year. And my wife gave me a very unusual gift, a mink coat. When I said I wouldn't wear it, she started crying and said she'd just have to keep it for herself. Women are so foolish, aren't they? It's strange that mink coat matches the purse she gave me last year. I had a tough time picking out a present for Bing. He's so difficult to offend. I finally sent him a $5 bill. Why fool around? I know what he likes. And Crosby told me he was going to give me something for around the house. He gave me something for around the house. You know where I can get rid of 24 mice? Jimmy Stewart called me up and thanked me for the raincoat I sent him. I didn't have the heart to tell him it was a case for a fishing rod. I've had the same thing happen to me, though. Last year, someone gave me a bright-colored pair of pajamas. It wasn't until the following March that I discovered I was sleeping in a set of Buick seat covers. I wondered why the pockets were ashtrays. Jane Russell sent me a sweater with a card. I spent October and November knitting this for you. It fits fine, except that October is too tight around the neck. And November drags on the ground. I walked down the street this morning and a guy followed me developing film. When I walked down the street this morning, a guy followed me developing film. Well, anyway, I left out a word. I'm fine. I was a little late with my present, Hedy Lamarr. I had trouble wrapping it. You know, it's tough tying the string from the inside. And I gave my kids a television Christmas. I promised not to go on it again. No applause there, please. Now, I really gave my kids Western outfits for Christmas, but I never should have given them that saddle. You're looking at Bob Hope, the Wonder Horse. And Tony got a life-size Hopalong Cassidy doll that's almost human. When you wind it up, it walks around spitting on the Roy Rogers stuff.
I wound the hopalong cowboy too tight, and before we could get it stopped, it had lassoed our cocker spaniel and branded the mailman in three places. Where have you been up to now? And I got 4,000 Christmas cards this year, but I have to send nearly 1,000 back unsold. The Cadillac company sent me a cute card. It said, "You may ride all year in Santa's sleigh with his reindeer and gaudy raiment. We just took your car away. You slipped up on a payment." But Christmas in Hollywood is great. Santa Claus arrived at one house, and the kids asked him to tell a story. He said, "I can't. I had a story, but I just sold it to Paramount for 50 grand. And one actor I know wouldn't play Santa Claus at his house. He didn't think the part was big enough. But they finally talked me into it. You know, when I was a kid, we were too poor to have stockings for the presents. My folks used to nail me to the mantelpiece with my mouth open. And I went to one Hollywood Christmas party that was really something. They had a mink Christmas tree. I didn't mind that, but the mink were alive. Everybody sat around drinking eggnog and eating caviar mixed with rhinestones. And they didn't take any chances on your staying too long under the mistletoe. Right next to it, they had a preacher hung from the ceiling in a bucket seat. It was quite a party. Finally, Santa Claus arrived in the Cadillac convertible. He came into the room and said, "Merry Christmas, everybody. Movies are better than ever." It was Sam Goldwyn with a white beard.
Say, Bob, now that the Christmas holidays are almost over, I suppose Chesterfield wants you to go back to your old job.
What's that, High?
The cigarette girl at Ciro's.
Oh, yes, and I'm ready for it. I've got a delightful new outfit. A lovely crinoline woven in a daring herringbone pattern, charmingly accented by 54-gauge seersucker hose.
Well, I'm sure you'll be mobbed by all the customers who want to make the Chesterfield mildness test.
I'm counting on it. But for those who won't be at Ciro's, let's go over it now.
The next time you buy cigarettes, buy Chesterfield's. Smell them, smoke them, and compare them. Yes, compare that milder Chesterfield aroma with your old brand, and your nose will tell you the difference between Chesterfield's and other cigarettes. Chesterfield's are milder.
And as all tobacco men know, they sure do. And as all... I'm really sharp tonight. I haven't even got this thing. I never saw it before. And as all tobacco men know, tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. You smoke them and you'll find it's true. Chesterfield's smoke milder, and they leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, remember that. Better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines, for you, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Christmas 1950 has come and gone, but the memory lingers. The memory of those few hectic days that precede every Christmas. Like the rest of us, Bob Hope had his minor Yuletide problems. So let's go back. It's earlier in the week, and I went over to Bob's house to give him a gift and possibly get one in return. Hello, Bob.
Gee, you look swell. You're so well-groomed, and that suit fits you beautifully. I don't think I've ever seen you looking handsomer. And your hair is just...
Bob, I'm over here. Stop looking at the mirror.
Oh.
Hello, hi.
Well, Bob, why is it every time I come over here, you're looking at one of the 100 mirrors you have around the house?
Well, I have to look at all of them, or some of them get jealous.
Well, I just came over to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, hi, and a Chesterfield New Year. Say, what's that you've got in your hand?
Well, it's a gift for you. I know how fond you are of golf, and you're out on the course every chance you get, and, well, this should make your golfing much more enjoyable.
Gee, thanks. I can't wait. I've got to open it right now. Well, just what I've always wanted, a set of matched holes. Hi, since you've been so nice, I think I'll give you your gift now.
Oh, Bob, you didn't have to.
I wanted to, High. I know how crazy you are about television, and there's no antenna on your house across the street, which means you don't have a set, so...
So?
Here's a telescope. I'll keep my shades up.
Oh, gee, thanks a lot. You've got a heart as big as Woolworth's.
Heart as big as Woolworth's. My, that's clever. Probably the funniest resignation I ever heard.
No, really, Bob, I appreciate the thought. Say, I meant to ask you, what are you giving Crosby this year?
Oh, I've got it right here, High.
Oh, that's a mighty attractive gift. What is it?
A necktie. Sent me back 35.
Hey, that's a lot of money.
Sure is. Ruined a half a buck.
Now, wait a minute. You spent only 35 cents for a necktie for Bing?
Yeah, I saw it advertised in a television show, Peter Pepper's Party Poopers.
Well, it's certainly unusual. Is that a hand-painted tie?
No, hand-painted ties are so common. This is a little different.
Oh, what is it?
Wallpaper. You don't tie a knot. You put it on with a brush and paste.
Really, Bob, do you think that's much of a gift?
Why, certainly. It's very practical. You can wear it for sport or with a business suit or for evening wear. And best of all, it's reversible.
Oh, what's on the other side?
A dish rag. Should go very well with that sport jacket he has made out of potholders.
Bob, you're not really going to give it to him, are you?
Sure, I'm going over to his house right now.
Well, it's almost 10 o'clock. He's liable to be asleep.
Then I'll leave it in the night deposit box. I'm sure he'll get it that way, and, Say, listen to that high Christmas carolers.
Yeah, Bob, and they're right outside the door. I'll open it.
Aren't they a colorful group, High? Oh, and look at that little old lady on the end. She shouldn't be out in the damp night air. Oh, Mother, would you like to come in the house and get warm?
I'd love to, but you're standing on my shawl.
Bing! Say, Bing, how come you're out singing Christmas carols?
Oh, a fella I know got me this job. He's too busy to take it himself, so he fixed it up for me. Always throws whatever work he can my way.
Who's that?
Gary.
Are you going to just drop the gold like it?
Hero.
There may be a Red Skelton spy here.
Pinky Lee.
The script's on the ground. Say, Gary, huh?
Yeah.
You mean your own son sends you out into the night air to sing Christmas carols? That's terrible.
Nick's cracking. I wouldn't want him to hear you say that. It could irritate the lad, you know.
So what?
I'd cut off my allowance. Well, cut me off another farthing, eh?
Well, caroling is a nice idea, Bing, but you look cold.
It is a bit nippy.
Well, you should know better than to go out in the night air without your electric money belt. Come in and get warm.
Thank you, Robin. Well, hello there, High. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Bing. Well, I'll be running along, Bob.
Why don't you stick around, High?
Oh, no, thanks, Bob. I feel like watching television tonight. Leave your shade up, huh?
Okay. Night.
Hey, it's nice. Nice and cheerful in your big fire going in the fireplace. What are you burning?
Your records.
Well, heavens to Decker.
Well, make yourself comfortable, Ben. Take off your shawl. Can I get you something to drink or a bite to eat?
No, thanks. I didn't bring my credit card.
Oh.
Say,
rum luck.
Hot luck. Say, you've got this room done up in real Christmas style, haven't you? Just, it's an absolute symphony of red and green, the holly, and that mistletoe right up over the front door.
Yeah, I put it there so I can kiss anybody who comes to the house.
Any luck?
Yeah, I'm engaged to the mailman.
Play post office with girls sometimes. See, I can tell you it's going to be quite a Christmas at the Hope Menage. I can tell that. That's an impressive pile of gifts under the tree.
Yeah, you know how the kids like presents at Christmas.
Sure, I know. I just got nicked for a set of trains for my twins.
I know. I tried to get reservations on the Super Chief, and they told me it was your house.
Put your teeth in and try it again. Come on.
Teeth won't help. I need a brain with this. That awful. I know. I tried to get reservations on the Super Chief, and they told me it was at your house.
Hey, Bob, incidentally,
where are you when I need you?
Ah, there it goes. Just like yours, the eighth pole. Say, Bob, I have one more present for under the tree. This is for you. Merry Christmas.
Why, Bing, I'm overwhelmed. Is this my present?
Mm-hmm. The other side is a dish rag.
Wow.
cheapskate, you miser, you Pebble Beach penny pincher.
Penny? Why, look, Scrooge, I happen to know that you line the insides of your trousers with money.
That's a lie.
Don't tell me. I've seen you in the locker room. The flap on your underwear has a serial number.
I wouldn't talk if I were you. You're too cheap to even buy a Christmas tree. You got Gary Cooper standing in your living room with pine needles stuck in him.
That, sir, is a base canard.
Yes, well, it just so happens. What'd you say?
Base canard. That's French for hoax, falsehood, lie.
Look, hammy yogurt. Why don't you speak English?
Nothing wrong with an occasional French phrase. After all, French is a romantic language, the language of the intellectuals.
Shall I hang this kid on a hook? The intellectuals. I love that. For years, this guy thought the Encyclopedia Britannica was a British bicycle.
Here's a man, this man here, with one brush. His one brush with culture was when he posed for the Cyrano de Bergerac ad. The picture hadn't played around him, actually. Or else I lost that lineup.
Go ahead. Act superior. You had advantages. You went to college. Nobody helped me. I had to become an idiot on my own.
There's an instinctive reaction if I've ever heard it. I might add, it's a job well done.
Just for that. Just for that, I'm not going to give you your Christmas present.
Here, now, let me see that.
Let go of that.
Well.
There you are, wise guy. Now we're even. Only a nearsighted, colorblind halfwit would wear that stupid-looking tie.
I like it.
I should have known. You don't go shopping for clothes in the store. You just hijack a Salvation Army truck.
This figured, I guess. I knew you wouldn't spend more than 35 cents on me. After all I've done for you, too.
What did you ever do for me? Well,
for one thing, I got you this job with Chesterfield, boy.
Are you kidding? The Chesterfield Company was dying to get me. Their tongues were hanging out. They were drooling.
Really?
Yes, it was sloppy, but flattering. By the way, Tubb, what are you getting Mr. Crampton, the head of Chesterfield's, for Christmas?
Well, I just happened to know that Crampton has a fine collection of early American firearms, so I thought I'd try to find him a musket or a pistol from the Revolutionary War. Find something, you know, some little gem for about $500.
$500?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give him the one they gave you at Valley Forge? Bing, if you spend that much money on Crampton, then I'll have to. We don't have to butter Crampton up. We got contracts.
Yeah, well, you might be right at that. It's really not the money you spend, after all. It's the thought behind
the
gift.
Sure, the thought, like the thing you gave me last year, a gift order to a plastic surgeon.
Well, I figured you might want to trim a few inches off that upswept fish hook.
No, steady.
Incidentally, that was a nice little goodie you dropped in my stocking.
I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah. A bottle of Fitch shampoo and a record of It's Later Than You Think. A little poignant, don't you think?
Look, Papa Santa Claus, let's cooperate for once and not cut each other's throat trying to get cramped in a lavish gift. Why don't we spend about $5 apiece?
Fine. Let's leave it that way, then. Just get the man something simple. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll rejoin the carolers.
Okay, here's your shawl, Grandma. Thank you. So here is Dad and Carol Richards doing a copy of their Decca recording of Silver Bells from Paramount's Lemon Drop Kid, starring Tubby Guerin.
Busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you hear
silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasure.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle you hear,
silver bells,
silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling.
Hear them ring.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Sad thought, Bob, but do you realize with 1951 almost upon us, we still have one thing in common?
Hardly enough for a happy marriage, is it?
What is that, Bing?
Chesterfields, of course. We both like them. We both sell them.
And we better get to selling them now. Mm-hmm. You know, folks, better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
How do you know they're mild? Well, you just make our mildness test. Buy them, open them up, and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke a Chesterfield. You know it's milder because it smokes milder.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel. So, always buy Chesterfield.
Join me, will you, Junior? Let's sum this thing up musically.
Yeah, wait a second.
You got a copy of it? Where in the devil is it?
I don't have it.
I don't have it. I've been frisked. I've been rolled.
There's a klepto here somewhere. Where the hell is this thing?
I've been rolled.
I don't have anything.
Commercial.
No talent, no script. I can't read. Let's get the stuff. You throw everything on the ground. What the hell is the matter with you?
I never did have it.
Great thing. Looks like Nick Kenny's handwriting. I love that. Okay, we're ready if you're through arguing back there.
How's it go now? How's the melody?
Chesterfield.
Oh, yeah.
I'll show you how to sing.
Take it from the last fly on the commercial.
Oh, that's swell, you. Cappy. Thank you, and pack. Okay.
Chesterfield.
You like it at Mutual. Where are we here?
The head's rolling in the morning. You ready, Cappy? Join me, Junior, and let's sum it up musically.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place.
Who the hell are you?
First shoes I've ever seen with a stoplight. Look at this.
Okay, let's go, boy.
No.
I guess we don't. Anything you say, Les, you're the czar here. What's
that? Step in there. I love that. I like the way you hold it.
Come on. Let's go. I love that. I have him look. Let him look at you over here, kid. I've seen you. I've seen you. Stand over here, will you, please? In fact, I'm having my stomach treated for that now. Would you stand over here? Okay, why don't you stick your hand? Come on, let's go. It's overtime and it's on you. Al!
Bob
Hope
show
at 9 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Not that.
Go.
Join me, Junior. Let's sum it up musically.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste. So open a pack, give them a smell, then you'll smoke them.
Doesn't that prove it?
Ladies and gentlemen, a few days before Christmas, Bob talked Bing out of buying Mr. Crampton of the Chesterfield Company an expensive antique pistol for his collection. In fact, they agreed to limit the price of their gifts to $5 each. we now find Bob, a man of his word, walking along Hollywood Boulevard.
That antique shop ought to be along here someplace. Oh, boy, wait till Bing finds out I'm buying Crampton a gun for his collection. Bing will blow his top. He may have to rent one, but he'll blow it. Now, what was the address of that shop? Maybe this Santa Claus knows. Hiya, Santa!
Merry Christmas, boy!
Yeah. What's the good word?
Put something in the pot, boy.
Okay. Here's a dollar.
Thanks.
Wait a minute. You're putting it in your vest pocket instead of the kettle.
Whoops, wrong pot. My eyes are just going to pieces.
Why, what's the matter?
When I was a child, my eyes were subjected to very bright lights.
How come?
Mother took me along every time they put her in the lineup.
Well, you're a very interesting type. Have you always been a Santa Claus?
Oh, no. Once I was a big, influential man. I had clothes, cars, money, a good time, Charlie. Wherever I went, it was Chiron for everybody. And then came...
What?
1929.
The crash?
No, that was my number at Sing Sing.
Oh, fine, a jailbird.
That's right. And I wouldn't mind being in jail right now.
You wouldn't?
No. That way I could spend Christmas with the rest of the family.
Now, wait a minute. You mean your whole family's in jail?
Yes, it's something of a tradition with us. As a matter of fact, my great-great-great-grandfather, Hezekiah Kirkwood, came over on the Mayflower in the brig.
Well, I don't know how anybody can be proud of having crooks for ancestors.
Oh, but I am. And if you bear with me, sir, I'd like to show you a picture of my dad, old Goneth Kirkwood.
Well, let me see. Say, that's very interesting. He's sitting in the electric chair holding a highball in his hand.
That's right. That was the day he was chosen man of extinction. But... enough of this persiflage. How about putting something in the pot, boy?
You know, you fascinate me. You admit to being a crook.
Boy, I'm so crooked I have to put my hat on with a screwdriver.
Well, frankly, I think you're bragging.
Well, I got a right to. I just finished a 20-year stretch.
What did you do 20 years for?
Serving my wife breakfast in bed.
They put you in jail for that? How come?
Well, the bed was in a gnash, and then I drove it off a cliff.
Why, you cad?
No, it was a gnash. Say, I've been studying you, boy. You look awfully familiar.
Really? Well, I'm Bob Hope.
I thought so. You know, I hear all your radio shows and I see all your pictures.
What do you think?
Take something out of the pot, boy.
Well, he was a big help. Oh, there's the antique shop in the corner.
Good evening, sir. May I help you?
Oh, yes, I'm in the market for an early American gun.
Fine. Our Miss Daniels will help you. Step right over here, please.
How do you do, sir? May I be of service?
Well, I hope so. I'm interested in an antique.
Well, my number is Hillside 5413.
Oh, you don't understand. I'm looking for a pistol.
After two cups of Ovaltine, I am a pistol.
Take it easy, dear. You'll pop the snaps on your camisole. Now, do you have any early American guns?
Well, we have this pistol right here. It's very rare, a fine specimen. It's at least 200 years old.
Well, it's certainly an interesting piece.
Yes, and a tribute to the ingenuity of the early gun makers. You see, in order to fire the gun, the flint was inserted in the flint rock, and then the ball was placed in the barrel, along with a charge of powder from a powder horn and a wad of cotton. The whole thing was then rammed down with a ramrod, then the ramrod was replaced in its holder, and then the gun was cocked and ready to go.
And then they fired the gun?
No, by that time the war was usually over.
Well, I think that would be great. I bet Mr. Crampton would be... Hey, don't point that gun at me.
Oh, don't be silly. This gun is over 200 years old. It couldn't possibly go off. Look, I'll hold it up to my head and pull the trigger.
Don't!
Oh, goody. Now I can wear pierced earrings.
Well, I think I'll take the pistol. How much is it?
$375 plus tax.
Oh, fine. Will you gift wrap it, please? I want it.
Say, would you folks have an earlier... Well,
Dane.
Huh. Going back on your word, huh? You're buying Crampton an expensive gift, huh?
Well, what of it?
Why, you... I can't think of a name low enough to call you.
I have a few suggestions.
You stay out of this.
That's it. There you go, picking on an elderly woman. That's typical of you, too. Madam, may I apologize for the crude and unseemly behavior of this boor?
Oh, that voice. I'd know it anywhere. You're a singer, aren't you?
Yes.
Why, of course. You're Vic Damone.
You're a little off there. I'm Bing Crosby.
Oh, well, that was before my time.
Quite a bit of Arthur Godfrey in you, Mother. Now, if you'll be good enough to gift wrap that gun, I'll just be on my way, huh?
Now, hold it. I've already bought that pistol.
Okay, we do. Suppose we let this charming lady decide. Madam, are you going to sell this gun to me and be assured that its intrinsic value will be appreciated, or to this itinerant purveyor of jokes? This trained seal that palms himself off as an actor.
Hey, where do you come off with that stuff?
I saw you in fancy pants. The only resemblance you bear to Tallulah is that you both wear the same size girdle.
Now, look, you collapsible Como. I remember that little Technicolor wake you starred in called Connecticut Yankee.
Infamy. Absolute infamy.
You just made one little mistake in that picture.
What was that?
You stepped in front of the camera while it was going.
That's all. I've had it. Wrap up the pistol, please.
Not so fast. You've been playing teacher's pet with Crampton long enough, making a spectacle of yourself, wearing shorts made out of Chesterfield wrappers. Well, I bet you've got Chesterfields in every pocket.
Here, now, here, get your hands out of my pocket. Out of there, I say.
What's going on here?
This thief was trying to pick my pocket.
I saw him.
I'll call the police at once.
Now, wait a
minute. He tried to steal my
purse. Why, this man is obviously a professional crook.
I've had enough of these accusations. I dare you to step outside and call me names.
You put me down.
He's dangerous. I'd better call the police.
Oh, yes. Take him to the Beverly Hills Bastille.
Cut it out, Bing. Tell the guy who I am.
Do you know this man?
I've seen his picture in the post office, if I'm not mistaken. I think this is Nosy Nick Palladino, a member of the... This is Black Hand gang member.
Black Hand?
Yes, he's been that way ever since he stopped working for Swan Soap.
Look, he's making this all up. I'm Bob Hope.
Now he's pleading insanity, you see.
Well, I was suspicious of him the minute he walked in here. He's got those shifty eyes and cruel dark lines around the mouth.
I just ate a Tootsie Roll.
Now look, Crosby, you double-crosser.
He's getting violent. Miss Daniels, call the police. I'll hold him.
Wait, just a minute. Let's not be hasty. This man is probably out on parole, and this might mean a life sentence. It's Christmas. Let's be charitable. Just throw the bum out, huh?
All right, sir. Come along,
you. I'll sue you for everything you've got.
Out you go!
How about that? Having me thrown out on the street. That tone-deaf Benedict Arnold. Friends for years, 20 years now, he's a big star. He forgets I knew him when he was a chicken plucker at Knott's Berry Farm. That's where he learned to sing, listening to the chickens. Well, I'm through with him. This is the end for us. I'll never talk to that rat again. Never. I hate him.
Oh, Bobby boy.
Don't talk to me, you bass canard.
You're really burning, aren't you? Look, here's the pistol. It's all wrapped up nice and pretty. And delivered to Mr. Cranston.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Bought the gun. I put both our names on the card. But yours first, of course.
Oh, Bing, you're a doll.
I hope the postman won't think I'm cutting in.
Gee, Bing, I had you figured all wrong.
You should know better, Robert. We're pals. No matter what happens.
No matter what happens?
That's right. Someday, your figure will start to spread.
Your fall and arches will drop like lead.
You'll find your beautiful smile has fled.
No hair atop of your shiny head.
Don't let the wrinkles upset you. I'll still be happy I met you.
Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Someday, you're gonna lose your physique.
You'll have the doctor in twice a week.
This chic will suddenly go antique.
You'll be so deaf that I'll have to shriek.
Your fans will no longer court you, but you've got your sons to support you.
Darn it, brother, we're pals. Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Union give us the biggest
isn't this a great thing?
They're supposed to come in,
you know what I mean?
The line
and they think Phil Harris drinks. Isn't this awful?
Will you get Mal Hallett on the phone, please?
Two.
Come to my show when you.
I guess he's just mad because his name's not on the banner. I guess so. I don't know.
He was on the telephone when we rehearsed.
Sure, that's a nice place to rehearse, on the telephone. You're supposed to rehearse music. What the hell are you doing on the phone? I know, but this is a new arrangement. We don't do Maxwell's arrangement. I mean, it's not a bad idea, but we don't, Les. You know that.
Do it again.
Sure. Listen, you know what happens there? Darn it. Brother, we're... Now, listen to the boy. Listen to Sir Thomas Grierson over there.
Darn it, brother, we're pals. A Merry Christmas!
Wait. I don't think I want to do it at all. Oh, my back. Say, my idea, I had nothing to do with this. The writers are upstairs. If you'd like to talk to them. I don't know where you were last night, but I'm glad you won first prize. Look, I want to talk. Listen, let's do it that way then.
Right.
We'll do it your way, Les. The hell with the show. Let's do it your way. Okay. Hey, listen, wait a minute. Fellas, for no extra money, could you sing a little louder? I guess not. All right, thanks. Go ahead. Where do you want to start from? We'll never get to the Palladium, and I have my card filled.
No matter what happens, that's right.
Well, you don't mind if I read a line, do you? Let's test it. It's my show. Do you mind if I read one line?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right. All right, Les, don't beat him. Just let's play. Okay, Les, then. Okay, what the hell you got in there?
What are you smoking? Rehearsal clothes.
Rose Bowl.
Rehearsal clothes. That's all.
Usher, start the motors. We'll be right out. Go ahead. All right. Let's go, then. Oh, you want to say that? Okay, Les.
Oh, I never did get along.
No matter... Oh, where... Yes. No, This is on you. We're going to have a big meeting. You and I now. You didn't have any arrangements, no music, nothing. You came in with nothing again.
Look at the shoes, though.
All right, now, here we go. All right, stop the tittering. Here we go, then. No matter what happens...
That's right.
All right, here we go. Okay, legit now. Let's go.
Okay, come on.
All right. No matter what happens.
That's right.
Someday your figure will start to spread.
Your fault. I'm not ready. Let's move, Les. Come on, quit fooling around.
Well, I know.
All right. No matter what happens.
That's right.
Someday your figure will start to spread.
Your fall and arches will drop like lead.
You'll find your beautiful smile has fled.
No hair atop of your shiny head.
Don't let the wrinkles upset you. I'll still be happy I met you. Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Someday you're gonna lose your physique.
You'll have the doctor in twice a week.
This sheet will suddenly go antique.
You'll be so deaf that I'll have to shriek.
Your fans will no longer court you, but you've got your sons to support you.
Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Oh, Merry Christmas!
Darn it, brother, we're pals.
Holy Night, the birthday song of a man who died on the cross for his faith in God's great principles, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men.
1,950 years have gone by since the birth of that man and the rebirth of those principles. Yet the peace for which he gave his life has not yet come to this earth.
And all over this earth, men of goodwill are suffering upon a new cross, the cross of communism, the red menace of mankind with its godless goal, the crucifixion of freedom.
Christmas 1950. It was a beautiful Christmas, wasn't it, Bob? Our streets, our stores, our homes, never more beautiful.
Beautiful and bountiful, Bing. I mean, Papa Noel really got around. The post office department, you know, reports a new high in Christmas giving.
How about those fellows over there in Korea, They set a new high in Christmas giving, too.
Yeah, communism doesn't make out Christmas lists, makes out casualty lists. When I think of cracking jokes with those kids a little over a month ago, listening to him sing, I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Sort of furnishes a fellow with all the material he needs for his New Year's resolutions, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know a man who suffered the deepest kind of heartache over what's happened in Korea, who feels the loss of each kid as though it were his own son, and he swears that what those kids have given this nation, communism shall never take away.
Who's that, Bob?
Uncle Sam.
God bless the man and keep him.
Chesterfields have brought you the Bob Hope Show, transcribed from Hollywood, California.